I want to echo the words of the angel to the company of women at the sepulchre on that resurrection morning. He says to them, come, verse 6 of chapter 28, come, see the place where the Lord lay. It's an angelic invitation. An invitation that travels down through the centuries of time unchanged in its glorious and its triumphant assertion. Come, see the place. See the tomb. Behold the very place where the Lord's lifeless body lay for 3 days and 3 nights. Why does the angel place such an emphasis upon the place? It is an invitation intended for us. The angel rolled away the stone. It wasn't men that rolled away the stone. The angel rolled away the stone for our sakes. We must always remember, as Doc Paisley used to say so many times, the stone was rolled away not to let the Lord out, but to let us in and to see that he had already risen. And how true that is. The angel rolled the stone away in order to invite us to come in and to see the place where the Lord lay. Why the invitation? Well, let me suggest, in the first place, this invitation came from the angel in order that we might see the place that had been given willingly. It was the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man, a counselor, but a man who was a disciple of Jesus. It was a new tomb wherein never man had yet lain, a tomb that Joseph had personally dug and chiseled out of the rock for himself and for his family. Come see the place. That place where Jesus lay. It was a tomb given. A tomb that represented the hard work of Joseph, his energy, his expense. And yet he gave it for the purpose of containing the Lord's lifeless body for those few days' duration. See that place where the Lord lay, because it expresses a wholehearted devotion and a service of a willing disciple desiring to honor his Lord in the hour of his rejection and his shame. Joseph, along with Nicodemus, had taken down from the cross the broken and bruised and bleeding body of the Lord Jesus. They had washed his wounds tenderly. They had wound the linen cloth around his body, and tenderly they carried it, without pomp, without ceremony, yet with the deepest tenderness and affection, to that tomb that belonged to Joseph. See the place. See the place. Come, see the place. This is the place that was given willingly, given wholeheartedly, given lovingly by Joseph for the sake of his master. Come, see the place that was sealed securely. It was sealed at first by Joseph. The Bible tells us in this passage that we have read in verse number 60 that he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. In Mark's gospel, he informs us that it was a very great stone. It took tremendous effort, tremendous energy on the part of Joseph to secure that tomb. It was secured in order to keep out the wild beasts that would have sought to prey upon that dead corpse. It was sealed by Joseph in order to keep out the grave robbers, or those who with malicious intent might seek to mutilate the body of the Lord Jesus. Joseph rolled the stone upon the door, the entrance of that tomb, in order to protect his Lord's body. That stone was a symbol of the intention to protect and preserve. His disciples desired to keep intruders getting in. And yet we're also told that his enemies desired that stone to be sealed, that entrance to be made absolutely secure. Chapter 27 and verse 63, they came to Pilate and said to him, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure." They were not content with the great stone. It had to be sealed. It had to be cemented. That's the sense there. Bring the lime and the mortar and cement that stone so that no one can get in easily. Joseph didn't want the enemy to get in order to mutilate the body. But the enemies didn't want the body to be taken out. And so they requested that it be sealed. The angel says, "Come see the place." The place that was given willingly, the place that was secured, that was sealed securely in order to protect the Lord's body, and in the case of his enemies, to prevent the Lord's body being taken out, lest the message be sounded that he was risen, and in their minds the last error would be greater than the first. The angel says, "Come see the place." This place, not only was it a place that was sealed securely, but it was a place that was guarded robustly. Look at verse number 65 of the chapter. Pilate says to them, "Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can." So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. You'll notice that this watch that was appointed, the men who formed the watch are described in a number of ways. If you come into chapter 28 and verse 4, they are described as the keepers. "And for fear of him, the keepers did shake." If you come down the passage to verse number 12, "When they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers." Verse 11, "When they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that they were done," and they are referred to as soldiers. Soldiers. Soldiers in Pilate's army, in Pilate's battalion, keepers of this tomb appointed to prevent the very situation which they later instructed the same soldiers to claim, because they wanted the soldiers here in order to prevent the disciples getting in to take out the body and then claim that he had risen. But when the soldiers returned to the high priest, to the leaders, and told them the things that had happened, the empty tomb, the missing body, they said in verse 11, giving them large money, they said, "This is what you're to say. His disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept." The very thing that they had sought to prevent by setting the watch. And now they're instructing the soldiers to say this, to make this claim. "Come, see the place which unbelieving priests robustly guarded and yet failed to prevent his resurrection. But come a little closer. Look closer and see the place that was watched lovingly with longing eyes and loving hearts, hearts broken and full of grief." Chapter 27 and verse 61. And there. Notice the emphasis on the place, on the location. And there, at that place where the body of Christ lay, there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Joseph and Nicodemus had brought the body, and they had laid that body on the stone slab. And Joseph rolls the stone to the entrance, and then he departs. But Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the Mary of James and Joses, were there watching all the time. Have you stopped to think about that? Sitting over against beside the sepulchre, and inside that sepulchre the Lord's lifeless body lay. Inside the tomb, out of sight, out of reach, enclosed by the stone, enveloped in the darkness of that cave. It helped to embalm and anoint his body. And now that same lifeless body lies motionless upon the stone bed, inside the tomb, while outside, the two Mary sat and they watched until the sun sank beyond the horizon and the silver light of a full moon cast its reflection upon the Master's tomb. Come see the place. It was a place given willingly, sealed securely, guarded robustly, and watched lovingly. But come see the place. The place that was only used temporarily. Come see the place where the Lord lay. He's not lying there now. He's not here. He's not here any longer. The angel rolled the stone away to show us that he's gone. He only borrowed this tomb temporarily. He had no plan for a long duration. He told his disciples repeatedly during the previous 6 months that he would suffer and die, making his way up to Jerusalem, beginning at Caesarea Philippi, telling his disciples the things that would come to pass. He would be betrayed, handed into the court of the high priest. He would suffer. He would be beaten. He would be put to death. But he made no plans for his funeral. He made no plans for his burial. He was only there 3 days. The lodging was required only a short time. The Lord did not rent out Joseph's tomb on a long-term lease. It was borrowed only temporarily. He is risen. See the place where the Lord lay. He's not here. He's risen. Look what it says in verse number 6. As he said. You'll notice the angel draws attention to the Lord's word. He has kept his word. He has kept his word. As he said. As he said. Come see the place. It was borrowed only temporarily. And as you come and see this place that was given willingly and secured, sealed securely and guarded robustly and watched lovingly and used only temporarily, as you come and see this place, what do you see? Step inside the tomb. The stone has been rolled back by the strength of a great angel. And he says, come, see the place. Come inside. Come and see this place. What do you see when you step inside the tomb? Oh, I see that death was in that place. For he lay there, his body, lifeless, motionless. Those hands that touch the sick, the leper, that took Jairus' daughter by the hand and raised her up. Those hands that took the bread, and after he had blessed it, he broke it and he fed a great multitude. Those hands are still lifeless, motionless. And those lips, from which proceeded the most gracious words that the ears of mankind have ever heard. Never man spake like this man. Those lips are silent. And those ears that heard the cry of those in the depths of misery, in the depths of suffering, in the depths of agony, in the depths of turmoil, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus, hearing that cry, stood still. Those ears are now deaf, lifeless. His body, motionless. There he lay. There is death. He truly died. He died for our sakes. And he died for our sin, and he died for our salvation. That tomb is the evidence of death. Come, see the place. What do you see? You see death in that place. Ah, but there is something so much more, something so greater. There's deity in that place. For while his lifeless body lay in that tomb, it was the body of the Lord. I want you to see that. Come see the place where the Lord lay. The Lord of heaven and earth. The Lord of angels. The Lord of life. The Lord of death. And death could not hold its prey in that place. The mighty demonstration of those words that Jesus spoke in John 10. "I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." Those words are demonstrated in that place where he lay. He laid down his life. The reason why he laid down upon that cold stone tablet was because he sovereignly chose to do so. Death had no claim over him. Death comes to you and I, and it has a claim over us. And we cannot stop that. And we cannot prevent it. But death had no such claim over the Lord of glory. Death walked up to that cross with deepest humility. And death bowed humbly at the foot of that cross in submission to the Lord of glory. Death had no claim over him. The Lord Jesus, with death kneeling at the foot of that cross, sovereignly, willingly, and voluntarily laid down his life into the arms of death. And death carried that body and laid that body on that stone table. But on the third day, the Lord Jesus said, "I have power to take it again." And in the darkness of that tomb, the Lord Jesus manifested his great power. He had not died as a victim. He was not the prey of death, but by the act of his sovereign power, he took his life again. He rose. And that tomb is not only the place where death was present, but it was the place where deity was manifested. "I have power to take it again." And when we step into that place that angels invite us to, we not only see death and deity, but we see destiny in that place. The chief priests thought to seal the tomb, but they failed to recognize that that place, that very place, by what occurred there, has sealed the destiny of all who trust in him. Christ is now risen. This is the message. He is not here. He is risen. And because he is risen, he has become the first fruits of them that sleep. Come, see the place. Once occupied temporarily, now vacant. It is the harbinger of hope. It is the death of death. That place was once the tomb of Jesus, but now it is the tomb of death. Come, see the place, and you will not find the body of your Lord there. You will not find the body of your Savior. You will not find your body of your Redeemer. Some say the tomb is empty, but that tomb is not empty. There is a body there. But it's not the body of the Lord. It is the body of death. Come, see the place. He is not here. He's risen. He's glorified. But look, death is here. Slain, conquered, defeated. It has been wound up in a shroud that shall never be unwrapped again. And over that garden tomb, these words are inscribed. Because he lives, we shall live also. He's become the first fruits of them that sleep. And it was demonstrated back in verse number 52 of chapter 27. The graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection. Do you know what happened that morning? There was a preview of that great day when Jesus will come again. The angel of the Lord descended. The Lord rose. And the saints that slept arose also. Come see the place. It is a preview of our destiny. A preview of the destiny of all who trust him. Death is conquered, and because he lives, we shall live also. What an invitation. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Have you heeded the angel's invitation? Have you obeyed his instruction? Step inside the tomb this morning. See the place where the Lord lay. It was given willingly, sealed securely, guarded robustly, watched lovingly, but it was only used temporarily. And from henceforth, it has become the tomb, the grave of death itself. What a place this is. What a place this is. The place where death was conquered. And life triumphed forevermore. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And may that sight thrill our hearts and flood our hearts with joy. Verse 8 tells us they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. And may we not know the fear today, but may we know the great joy of seeing the place where the Lord lay and the significance of its message. And then run, go and run. Bring his disciples word. Go and tell. The Lord is risen. Death is conquered. Christ is the first fruits of them that sleep. What a blessed scene. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Let's turn in closing to 120 in our hymn book. Number 120.